61 explanation of the Atmarama verse.
今天我们继续来讲解永恒的 Chaitanya 经师 Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhalila 中间逍遥的第二十四章 Atmarama 师节的六十一项解释。
So we are starting a new chapter.
今天我们开始新的一章。
We are still exploring the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya teachings to Sanatan Goswami.
我们现在依然在探索的是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 给 Sanatan Goswami 的教导。
Which took place in Varanasi.
那他们这个对话的地点是在 Varanasi。
And we have completed chapter 23, which was about the nature of pure devotional service.
我们已经结束了第二十三章，第二十三章的主题就是纯粹的奉爱服务的特性。
The end of chapter 23 explained that Lord Chaitanya gave some very specific instructions to Sanatan Goswami.
在第二十四章的末尾 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 给 Sanatan Goswami 一些非常特殊的教导。
We'll repeat them in case you forgot.
这是在二十三章的结束。那我们现在呢，重复一下，以免大家忘记。
Lord Chaitanya instructed Sanatan Goswami to excavate the holy places of Krishna's pastime in Vrindavan.
首先呢 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他请 Sanatan Goswami 去发掘出主Krishna 在 Vrindavan 的上演逍遥时光的地方。
To write transcendental literatures on the science of devotional service.
还有呢，让他去编纂有关奉爱服务的科学的文献。
And to establishThe worship of Radha and Krishna.
还有呢，去建立对 Radha 和 Krishna 的崇拜。
So these are the instructions that Sanatan Goswami received.
那 Sanatan Goswami 呢，就获得了来自于 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的这些训谕。
And he begged Lord Chaitanya to empower him.
他祈求 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 赋予他力量。
So what we see here is theVery clear relationship between guru and disciple.
所以我们可以在这里非常清晰地看到 guru 和门徒之间的关系。
The disciple approaches the spiritual master with inquiries.
门徒抱着一种求寻真理的心态来到自己的灵性导师的面前。
And the spiritual master being pleased with the inquiry of the disciplewill bless the disciple with transcendental knowledge.
而一位对于门徒的问题感到非常欣喜的一位灵性导师，他就会以超然的知识来祝福自己的门徒。
And together with knowledge, also guidance and instructions are given.
而且呢，伴随着这样的祝福，他也给了门徒以训示和指导。
Now this is the key.To spiritual progress.
这个实际上呢，就是通向灵性进步的关键所在。
Which is what Rupa Goswami described as the very first principle in Bhakti Yoga.
那么 Rupa Goswami 呢，他说这个就是 Bhakti Yoga 奉爱瑜伽的首要原则。
To approach a spiritual master.
去接近一位灵性导师。
To take initiation from such a spiritual master.
像这样的一位灵性导师去接受启迪。
And to follow in the footsteps of the acharyas.
然后去追随 acharya 们历代先师的脚步。
This is the foundation of spiritual life.
那这个就是灵性生活的基石。
And that's also why Krishna is suggesting to Arjuna in chapter 4 Bhagavad Gita that you must approach.A spiritual master.
所以说呢，在博迦梵歌的第四章中，Krishna 也是这样给 Arjuna 一个建议的，说你必须要去接近一位灵性导师。
Prabhupada explains many times that ultimately the guru is Krishna.
那施拉普拉普帕呢，他很多次都强调这样的一个要点，说从终极而言，孤独就是 Krishna。
Everything that we need to know comes from Krishna。
因为我们想要了解的有关 Krishna 的一切都是来自于 Krishna 的。
But because in our conditioned states we are not able to understand or to see or to connect with Krishna directly, Krishna sends the spiritual master。
那因为我们备受局限，所以我们没有这种能力去看到然后呢用头脑去理解并且和 Krishna 建立起这种连接，所以说呢 Krishna 他就把灵性导师派到了我们的面前。
So this principle of teacher and student, guru and disciple is found all throughout the Vedic literatures。
所以呢有关于师徒之间的这种关系，孤儒灵性导师和门徒之间的这种关系呢，在这个伟达的经典当中无所不在。
And the Bhagavad Gita,
还有薄伽梵歌。
And the Srimad Bhagavatam,
以及圣典薄伽瓦坛。
And the Chaitanya Charitamrita,
还有 Chaitanya Charitamrita。
And all the Goswami's writings,
还有在所有的 Vaishnava 的这个著作之中。
So this being established, now we can understand the nature of spiritual relationships。
那么在这个门徒和灵性导师的这种关系确立之后呢，我们现在就可以进一步进行探索，看看呢这种灵性的关系究竟是怎样的。
Because even in the spiritual world, on the eternal liberated platform, we always refer to someone superior.
因为呢即便是在灵性世界，在一个完全所有的灵魂都是完全解脱的这样的一个层面，这样的一个地方，每一个人他依然是要去皈依一个比他更高的去一个灵魂，地位更高的一个灵魂，向他去寻求参照。
There is always someone higher,
总是会有比自己更高的。
There is always someone more exalted,
总是有比我们更加崇高的人。
So we have to get used to this,
所以我们也要习惯于这一点。
And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that the key to enter the spiritual world is to develop humility.
所以呢 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢他说要走进灵性世界的这个关键就是在于去培养一种谦卑的心态。
And this has always been the mood of Sanatana Goswami.
而 Sanatana Goswami 他一直秉持的就是这样的一种谦卑的态度。
Now when the disciple has the right attitude, the spiritual master becomes inspired.
当一个门徒具有一种非常端正的一种心态的时候，一种态度的时候，这个灵性导师呢他也备受鼓舞。
If the disciple is argumentative or provocative, then nothing will happen.
如果这个门徒呢他总是喜欢去论辩或者是去挑战，那么这个灵性导师他就没有办法顺畅的给自己的门徒支持。
So this is actually a wonderful pastime that we are witnessingof the relationship between Lord Chaitanya and Sanatana Goswami.
所以呢我们就是看到呢主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 和 Sanatana Goswami 的这种关系就是这样开展的。
Now there are two more chapters to complete Madhya Lila.
Madhya Lila 现在还有两章的篇幅。
And the last two chapters, including the one that we're starting today, will take place in Varanasi.
那么这一篇的最后的两章也包括我们今天讲的这两章那个发生的地点是在 Varanasi。
And Lord Chaitanya will complete his teachings by showing Sanatana Goswami that the impersonalist sannyasis who live in Varanasi will also get his mercy。
那这个 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 要给 Sanatana Goswami 展示的就是说在 Varanasi 的这些假象中非人格主义者，那些 Sanyasi 假象中非人格的托钵僧们，他们也会同样的得到解脱。那么这个就是这个整个一篇的最后的结束。
And this pastime will take place to show that The mercy of Lord Chaitanya is for everyone.
所以呢，这一章就告诉我们一个道理：Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的仁慈是给予所有的人的。
So what will happen now?
那现在即将要发生的是什么呢？
Sanatan Goswami will change the topic of conversation.
现在呢 ，Sanatan Goswami 呢，他就是改变了话题。
And he will make a request to Lord Chaitanya.
他向 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 发出了一个请求。
He's going to ask Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to please explain a particular verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam.
那现在呢，请求 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 就 Srimad Bhagavatam 圣典薄伽瓦坛中的一个诗节做出解释。
So, as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes.He will submit humbly a petition.
那就像是 Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami 在这里说的，他是谦卑的，发出了他的请求。
So again, this is the right attitude to approach the spiritual master.
所以呢，这一点呢，又再一次证实了一个去接近一位灵性导师的人应当持有的心态。
Sanatan Goswami says, Purve Suniyachon Tomi Sarvabhomasthane Ekoshloke Atra Artha Kheracha Vyakhyane. My Lord, I have heard that previously at the home of Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya, you explained the Atmarama verse.In 18 different ways.
那么 Sanatan Goswami 就说呢，主啊，之前在 Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya 的家中，我曾经听您以十八种途径来解释 Atmaram 这个世界。
So this is very interesting because exactly the same thing happened to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya.
那这个问题非常有意思的，因为在这之前呢 ，Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya 他也遇到了同样的情况。
So to go back a bit in history，
那我们现在呢，再往前回溯一下历史。
Lord Chaitanya had just taken sannyas。
那个时候呢 ，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他刚接受了 sannyasi 启迪。
He was a very young man, 25 years old。
当时他只有25岁，风华正茂的一个年轻人。
Left his hometown of Navadvip and went to Jagannath Puri.
他离开了自己的家乡 Navadvip， 然后去到了 Jagannath Puri.
In Jagannath Puri, he enters the temple of Lord Jagannath and, by seeing Lord Jagannath, falls unconscious.
当他来到了 Jagannath Puri 的时候呢，他进入了主 Jagannath 的神庙。一旦觐见到了主加根纳，他就不由自主地晕厥在地上，在这个狂喜之中。
No one had ever seen anyone or any sannyasi exhibiting such symptoms.
在这之前，从来没有人见过任何一个人，或者说任何一个托钵僧、一个 sannyasi 展现出这样的一些征象。
At that point in time.Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who lives very close to the Jagannath temple, comes in a hurry to see what is happening.
那当时呢，这个 Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya 他是住在离 Jagannath 庙宇非常近的一个地方，所以他立刻就赶到了这个神庙来一探究竟。
And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is the most prominent person, not only in Jagannath Puri, but in the whole of India.
当时呢 ，Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya 呢，他不仅仅是在Jagannath Puri， 而且是全印度的一位非常有威望的权威人士。
So when he sees this young sannyasi, he feels he is very curious, but he is also very attracted.
当时当他看到这个年轻人的时候呢，内心当中呢。充满着好奇，但是与此同时，他又不由自主地被他所吸引。
And decides to take the body because Lord Chaitanya is still unconscious. He gets his body carried to his own home.
所以当时呢，这个 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他已经昏迷了，就躺在这个地上。所以 Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya 呢，他就请人把这个 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 抬到了自己的家里。
And there. Surrounded by devotees, Lord Chaitanya regains consciousness.
当时呢，奉献者们呢，他都围绕在这个Chaitanya Mahaprabhu身边，那渐渐的Chaitanya Mahaprabhu就从昏迷中醒来了。And
Sarvath Acharya inquires about what are those symptoms all about.
那Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya 他就询问Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 说，这些表现出的这些征象到底意味着什么？
And he decides that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being a young sannyasi, may not have really understood what is the meaning of being a sannyasi, and therefore is going to take up the task of teaching him.
所以他当时呢，他就想，这个Chaitanya Mahaprabhu看上去是那么的年轻，这么年轻的一个sannyasi托钵僧，肯定不了解sannyasi托钵僧的真意。所以说呢，他就决定自告奋勇的来这个教导Chaitanya Mahaprabhu，告诉他怎么样才能够做一个名副其实的sannyasi托钵僧。That
the duty of a sannyasi is not to fall unconscious out of ecstasy, but to study the Vedanta Sutra.
所以呢，他想告诉Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的，就是说，一个真正的一个 sannyasi 托钵僧，不应该在狂喜中昏迷在这个地上，不应当展示出这样的一些真相，而应当非常认真的去研习终极伟大经。So
Vedanta Sutra was compiled by Śrīla Vyāsadeva.
那 Vedanta Sutra 呢，终极伟大经，这个是由 就是Vyasadeva亲自编撰的。
And it became the core body of knowledge available in Kali Yuga.
这个也成为这个卡利年代的一个最突出的核心知识。This
Vedanta Sutra was commented upon by Shankaracharya, who is the head of all the Mayavadis in India.
那这个之前呢，就是Shankaracharya，上杰罗大师呢， 他是全印度的玛雅瓦底假象宗非人格主义的这个首领，那么他呢亲自就评注了Vedanta Sutra终极伟大经。But
Shankaracharya twisted the meaning of the Vedanta
Sutra。但是Shankaracharya呢，他却曲解了这个终极伟大经的要义。And
it became the main body of literature for all Mayavadi sannyasis to study constantly.
然后他所评注的这个终极伟大经呢，Vedanta Sutra就成为了所有的这些假象中非人格主义的，尤其是这些托钵僧，时时刻刻在研习的一部经典。So
for 7 days, Sarvath Acharya explained the Vedanta Sutra to Lord Chaitanya, who does not say a single word.
所以呢，当时就用了7天7夜的这个时间，Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya 不断的在给这个Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 讲述这个终极伟大经 Vedanta Sutra。但是呢，当时整个的这个过程从头至尾 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 都是一言不发。And
after 7 days, Lord Chaitanya begins to speak.
那这个7天7夜讲经讲完了之后呢， 这个Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 就开口了。And
he completely dismantles and demolishes everything that the Bhattacharya has said.
然后呢，他就把这个Bhattacharya所讲的所有的这7天7夜所讲的所有的这些东西呢，都给拆解了。At
that point in time, Sarvath Acharya is completely taken aback. He's so stunned and surprised to see the level of erudition of Lord Chaitanya.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，实际上就是完全的驳倒了Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya 所说的话。所以当时呢，对于 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的这个博学 ，Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya 呢也感到非常的吃惊，可以说是大为震惊。
And he submits himself to Lord Chaitanya. He surrenders to him.
所以这个时候他就臣服了Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Now, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decides to explain to Sarvabhauma Acharya the meaning of the Atmarama verse from Srimad Bhagavat.
这个时候呢，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他就决定，摘取这个 Srimad Bhagavatam 里面关于 Atmaram 的这个世界，给他好好的讲解一下。
And there is a very good reason for this.
那为什么他选择 Atmaram 这个时节呢？这是有一个充分的理由。
Now, this entire chapter that we're starting today is all about explaining this verse.
啊，我们现在要讲述的这个马太利来的第二十四章啊，其实从头到尾呢，就是来讲述的这个 Atmaram 的时节。
So we're going to go to this verse.
那我们首先呢，先回到这个世界
，which is found in the first canto, seventh chapter, text number 10.
那这个世界呢，就是 Atmaram 的这个世界，是来自于圣典伯加瓦坛的第一篇第七章的第十个世界。
Now, just to let you know ahead of time, that this chapter that we're starting now is all about understanding the depth of Sanskrit language.
啊，其实那首先我们提醒一下大家，这一章里面呢，我们要所讲到的，就是关于这个时节，其实是在探索这个梵文的一些词语的深度。
I am not a Sanskrit scholar.
我不是一个梵文学者。
And you are not Sanskrit students.
你们也不是学习梵文的学生。
So trying to explain every verse of this chapter will be very, very tedious.
所以呢，这一章里面的每一个诗节，要是我一一的进行详细的解释的话，恐怕你们都会感到非常的枯燥乏味。
But we can still understand something.
但是呢，我们依然可以有所理解。
So these verses take us back to the Srimad Bhagavatam.
所以呢，这个世界就把我们带到了圣典伯加瓦坛。
In the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami presents the authority of the Srimad Bhagavatam through pure devotional service.
那在这个圣典伯加瓦坛的这个开篇呢 ，Sukadeva Goswami 他就通过奉爱服务去呈现了圣典伯加瓦坛。
Now we know that when Sukadeva Goswami spoke to Maharaj Parikshit, there were many, many great sages in the audience listening to their conversation.
那我们记得就是当这个 Sukadeva Goswami 在向 Parikshit Maharaj 讲述圣典伯加瓦坛的时候，周围围坐了很多很多的圣人。
This conversation took place after the battlefield of Kurukshetra.
他们之间的这个对话呢，发生在库鲁支野战争之后。
And also after Krishna had departed.
也是在 Krishna 隐寂之后。
So, among the sages, we know Srila Vyasadeva was there.
那我们知道呢，在座的这些圣人里有 Srila Vyasadeva.
Narada Muni was there.
还有 Narada Muni.
Lord Shiva was there. And many other great masters.
还有很多伟大的这个圣人，这些大师。
And there were also great sages, but not all of them were on the level of actually understanding the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam.
那大多数的都这些在座的都是伟大的这些圣人，但是呢，他们还没有到达完全可以理解圣典伯加瓦坛的层面。
But there was one great sage named Sutta Goswami.
那在座的有一位圣人，他的名字就是 Sutta Goswami.
And Sutta Goswami later on became the main speaker of the Srimad Bhagavatam to the assembled sages at the Naimisharanya forest.
那后来呢，在 Naimisharanya 森林 ，Sutta Goswami 他就成了向在座的圣人讲述圣典伯加瓦坛的主讲人。
So actually, when we read or hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear what Sutta Goswami told the sages about Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj.
所以呢，在圣典伯加瓦坛里面，所以我们可以听到的就是 Sutta Goswami 在和 Naimisharanya 森林的圣者们所讲述的Sukadeva Goswami 对那个 Parikshit Maharaj 的教导，也就是Sukadeva Goswami 和 Parikshit Maharaj 之间的对话。
So in the exchanges between Maharaj Parikshit and Sukadeva Goswami, Maharaj Parikshit is the one to ask questions.
所以呢，在这个 Parikshit Maharaj 和 Sukadeva Goswami 之间的这个对话之中 ，Parikshit Maharaj 呢，他就是这个提问者。
In the conversation with Sutta Goswami, the person to ask the question is Sonaka Rishi.
那么在后来呢，就是当 Sutta Goswami 和 Namishana 的圣者们进行对话的时候，那么代表在座的圣人向 Sutta Goswami 去提问的呢，就是 Sonaka Rishi.
And the sages basically put the question that now that Lord Krishna has departed, now that Kali Yuga has begun.How will Krishna be represented in this age of Kali?
那这个 Sonaka Rishi 代表在座的圣人，就像 Sutta Goswami 提出了这样的一个问题。现在呢，这个主 Krishna 已经离开了这个地球，已经隐迹，而卡利年代也开始了。那么在主 Krishna 离开之后，究竟由谁来代表主 Krishna 呢？
So the answer is that.The Srimad Bhagavatam is what will represent the presence of Lord Krishna all throughout Kali Yuga.
那这个 Sutta Goswami 的回答就是说，在整个的贯穿整个的 Kali Yuga 的这个始末，圣典薄伽瓦坛将成为主 Krishna 的代表。
So, what we know is that Srila Vyasadev.Compiled the Vedas in a written form.
我们知道的就是 Srila Vyasadeva 呢，他以文字的方式撰写了就是伟达经典。
And he also compiled the Mahabharata and the Puranas. He also compiled the Bhagavad Gita.
然后呢，他也这个撰写了这个 Mahabharata 伟大的 Bharata 还有呢，就是像 Puranas 往事书。还有薄伽梵歌
and he felt dissatisfied.
但是呢，他的内心中还是有一种失落感。
So his spiritual master Narada Muni comes to see him.
在这个时候呢，他的灵性导师 Narada Muni 就来到了他的身边。
And Narada Muni says, "You have done exceptionally well with your compilation of Vedic literatures."
那这个 Narada Muni 呢，就对他的门徒说呢，你在编撰伟达经典的这个成就上是非常的卓越的。
But you have left out the most important thing.
但是你却遗漏了最重要的部分。
You have not described the pastimes and qualities of Lord Krishna.
因为你呢，没有去描述主 Krishna 的品格以及他的逍遥时光。
Which is the essence of all the Vedas.
而这两者呢，正恰恰就是伟达经典的精髓所在。
So Narada Muni explained to Srila Vyasadeva the essence of pure devotional service.
所以呢，这样呢，就是 Narada Muni 就向 Vyasadeva 讲述了奉爱服务的精髓所在。
So this is all found in the chapter 5 of Canto 1.
这个呢都是在圣典薄伽瓦坛第一篇的第五章中的描述。
Now in chapter 6 of Canto 1, the next chapter, Narada Muni tells Srila Vyasadeva his own story.
那么就是在圣典薄伽瓦坛第一篇第六章也就是在第五章之后呢，这个 Narada Muni 他就向 Vyasadeva 讲述了他自己的故事。
He is giving his own example.How he reached the pure platform of devotional service.
他是拿自己为例来说明怎么样才能够达到奉爱服务的纯粹境界。
So after this conversation is over, Narada Muni leaves.
那他们的对话结束之后呢 ，Narada Muni 就起身离开了。
Now, Sonaka Rishi is asking the question to Sutta Goswami after Narada's departure.What did Vyasadeva do?
那这个时候呢 ，Sonaka Rishi 他就问 Sutta Goswami 说 ，Sri Narada Muni 离开之后 ，Vyasadeva 接下来做了什么
？Again, we have the situation of guru disciple.
所以在这里呢，我们又看到了 guru 门徒和就是 guru 灵性导师和门徒之间的关系。
So Prabhupada explains when the spiritual master gives an instruction to a disciple.He also gives the disciple the intelligence to perform that particular instruction.
那徐拉帕尔派他就解释说呢，当一个灵性导师给了门徒一个训谕的时候，他同时也赋予了这个门徒去实践和完成这个训示的智慧。
So Sutta Goswami explains that Srila Vyasadeva went on the western bank of the river Saraswati.
所以呢，这个 Sutta Goswami 他就回答说了，他说呢，在那拉姆尼离开之后 ，Vyasadeva 嘛。Vyasadeva 他就来到了 Saraswati 河的西岸
，to a place called Samyaprash。
他就到了一个叫 Samyaprash 的地方。
And there he lived in a little cottage。
然后在那里呢，他就住在一个小茅屋里。
And in that place, Srila Vyasadeva was surrounded by little bushes and trees.He was eating just a little bit to maintain himself, and of course, it is always advised for sages to live by the holy river so they can take bath and be inspired.
所以呢，这样呢，就是 Vyasadeva 呢，他就一个人居住在这个茅草屋里，然后周围呢都是一些小树林、一些灌木丛，然后他每天吃的非常的少，把他的食量减低到最低。那么对于一位修行的这个圣人来说，也是推荐他们居住在这样的一个僻静的一个地方去做这个苦行和冥想。
Now we're speaking here about the most powerful sages in the universe.
那我们现在在讲的这个 Vyasadeva 呢，他是整个宇宙的一个最有力量的一个圣人。
And Vyasadeva appears in every Kali Yuga.
这 Vyasadeva 他是在每一个卡利年代都会显现的。
Or at the end of Dwapara Yuga.
或者是说就是在 Dwapara Yuga， 就是同期年代的末尾，他会显现。
Vyasadeva is a Shaktya Vaish avatar who is an empowered incarnation of Krishna.
他是 Shakti Vaish avatar， 他是能量注入化身。
So, most of the time, this Shaktya Vaish avatar can be a jiva, can be a conditioned soul.
很多时候呢 ，Shaktya Vaish avatar 就是能量注入化身呢，它可以是一个 jiva， 一个普通的灵魂所担任的这个角色。
This Srila Vyasadeva.Is Krishna himself.
但是这次我们所说的这个 Vyasadeva 却是 Krishna 本人。
So it's pretty amazing that Krishna appears at the end of Dwapara Yuga and his literary incarnation is also there in the form of Srila Vyasadeva.
所以呢，这个非常的有意思，就是在这个Dwapara Yuga， 也就是同期年代末尾呢，这个 Krishna 他亲自的显现了。那与此同时，他的文学化身 Srila Vyasadeva 也在同一个时代显现。
So Srila Vyasadeva is Krishna himself, and yet he is showing that a disciple must approach a guru to inquire and receive transcendental knowledge.
那么其实呢 ，Srila Vyasadeva 他是 Krishna 的文学化身，就是 Krishna 本人。但是他在这里也以身作则的，向我们讲述了这样的一个道理，就是作为一个门徒，他应当以一个非常谦卑的心态来到灵性导师的跟前，然后向他寻语疑难，并且去询问有关超然真理的话题。
Just like Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, but still he went to the Gurukul.
就好像 Krishna 他是至尊人格神兽，但是他依然还去这个 Gurukul 临时学校上学。
Lord Chaitanya is the supreme personality of Godhead, and still he took initiation from a spiritual master.
就像 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他也是至尊人格神兽本人，但是他依然也是接受了一位灵性导师的启迪。
So now Srila Vyasadeva.Has this instruction from his guru that he must write a literature which only speaks about Krishna and pure devotional service.
那么这个时候呢 ，Vyasadeva 他已经从他的灵性导师那里得到了这份训谕，就是说他应当要写一部超然的这个文献，其中呢只讲到 Krishna 的逍遥时光以及纯粹的奉献服务。
And here is what happened.
那么接下来就发生了这样的情况。
Vyasadeva is on the bank of the Saraswati River in his little hut.
那 Vyasadeva 呢，他现在就是在 Saraswati， 就是圣河边上，然后他住在一个小小的茅草屋里。
He's got the instruction of his guru.
他从他的灵性导师那里已经获得了训谕。
Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranite male apasyat purusham punam mayam chatad apashrayam. Fixed in his mind, perfectly engaging it by linking it to devotional service, bhakti yoga, without any tinge of materialism, and thus.He saw the absolute personality of Godhead along with his external energy, which was under full control.
这个时候呢，就是说他Shri Vyasadeva 他全神贯注的将自己的心专注在份爱服务上，而这份爱服务没有一丝一毫的物质主义的污染，这使他见到了绝对的至尊人格神手，以及他的外在的能量，而这外在的能量呢，是被至尊主所完全控制的。
So Sri Vyasadeva went into deep meditation, and he had the vision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
所以说呢，就是在这里 ，Vyasadeva 他进入到了深度的冥想之中。在冥想之中呢，他看到了至尊人格首身。
In other words, Krishna manifested within his heart and revealed everything that he needed to know.
也就是说呢 ，Krishna 是展示在他的这个心中了，并且向他揭示了 Vyasadeva 之前所不知道的。
Because Srila Vyasadeva's intention, number one, was to fulfill the instruction of his guru, and number two.Was to become completely perfect in his vision of Krishna.
那这个 Vyasadeva 呢，他有两个意图。第一个就是说，他要非常好的去完成实现他的灵性导师所教给他的这个训谕。第二点呢，他要让自己具有一种非常完美的视域，能够看到至尊主。
So he understood that people in Kali Yuga.Are not qualified to hear the Vedas.
他明白在卡利年代的人，他们没有资格去了解这个就是这伟达经典，就是他们不能完全的理解，没有这种能力。
But to hear about the transcendental activities of Krishna will extinguish the fire of lamentation, illusion, and fearfulness.
但是呢，去聆听主 Krishna 的超然的这个逍遥时光，却可以熄灭痛苦、虚幻和恐惧的大火。
And this is done by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam.
那这个就可以通过聆听圣典婆伽瓦坛达到。
And engaging in devotional service.
然后去从事就是奉爱服务。
So now.Vyasadeva is engaged in compiling the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is compiled of 18,000 verses.
那么这个时候呢 ，Vyasadeva 就开始着手去编撰圣典婆伽瓦坛。那么这个圣典婆伽瓦坛里呢，一共有18,000个时节。
And we know that the 18 verses are divided in 10 different subject matters.
而这个18,000时节呢，它又覆盖到10个不同的主题。
So, Srila Vyasadeva, the first thing that he wanted to do is to teach what he had just compiled to his son, Sukadeva Goswami.
那当 Vyasadeva 他写完了圣典婆伽瓦坛之后，他第一件做的事情就是把圣典婆伽瓦坛的知识传授给他的儿子，就是Sukadeva Goswami.
Yes, so Sukadeva Goswami, we know that...He did not want to come out of the womb of his mother.
那我们知道呢 ，Sukadeva Goswami 一开始他就只想待在他母亲的子宫里，他不想出来。
This was the longest pregnancy in the history of the universe.
这是整个的这个宇宙的最漫长的一次孕期。
He didn't want to come out of the womb of his mother because he did not want to touch the material energy.
他之所以不愿意从他母亲的子宫里出来，就是因为他不想沾染这个物质能量。
So he remained for 16 years in the womb of his mother.
所以他在他母亲的子宫中呢，就待着16年。
And while he was in the womb, he became self-realized.
就在他母亲的这个腹中，他就获得了自我觉悟。
He already understood his position as a spirit soul.
那在母亲的腹中的时候，他已经完全的觉悟了自己是一个灵魂。
And he understood that he has nothing to do in this material world.
而且他也知道呢，在这个物质世界上没有什么他需要去做的，就是他跟这个物质世界没有什么关系。
But his father promised him that once he is out of the womb of his mother, he will be able to realize everything perfectly.
但是呢，他的父亲呢，就向他承诺说他。就算是从母亲的肚中出来，也就是说他降生之后，他依然会有非常完美的觉悟，不用担心。
So what happened next?
那接下来发生了什么呢？
Sonaka Rishi wants to know, Shukadev Goswami was already self-realized. He had attained the highest platform of spiritual life.Why did he take the trouble to study such a vast literature as the Srimad Bhagavatam?
那这个 Sonaka Rishi 他向 Sutta Goswami 就提出这样的一个问题，说这个 Sukadev Goswami 他已经达到了完全的自我觉悟，他已经在灵性生命上达到了一个最高的完美的这个境界了，为什么他还要去这么麻烦去再去研习这么卷帙浩繁的文献呢？
Because we know that when Shukadev Goswami was born, he was already born as a teenager.
我们知道就是 Sukadev Goswami 他出生的时候，他已经是一个十几岁的年轻人了。
Just like the demigods, when they give birth, first of all, they give birth at the end of their lives, and they don't give birth to a squirming,baby crying in a pool of fluids.
就是首先我们知道这个就像是这个半神人一样，首先半神人是在就是他们快要死之前他们才生孩子，然后这个孩子生下来也不是像我们地球人一样的在一大堆的这个液体当中，各种液体当中的包裹中，哇哇的坠地，不是这样。
Demigods give birth to very well behaved, very balanced, beautiful young little boys and girls.
Already, 半神人生下的这个孩子已经都是这个小男孩、小女孩，个个都是端端正正、干干净净，非常的漂亮的，而且他们的行为这个举止都非常的好。
So Shukadev Goswami, as soon as he was born, he left home. He went to the forest.
然后呢，就是 Shukadev Goswami 一降生，因为他已经十几岁，他立刻就离开家到森林里去了。
And Vyasadeva was very disappointed. He said, "I already lost my son. How am I going to get him back?"
Vyasadeva 呢就感到非常的失望了。哎呀，我失去了自己的儿子，什么时候他才能回来呢？回到我的身边呢
？It's mentioned that Srila Vyasadeva was calling.His son Shukadev Goswami, but all he could hear is his own voice echoing.
所以在这个《博雅瓦坛》里面这么描述，就是说 Vyasadeva 呢，他一直呼唤着他的儿子 Sukadev Goswami 的名字，但是他只能听到自己的声音在空中回荡。
So what he did is, Srila Vyasadeva began to speak some part of the Bhagavatam to some workers in the forest for them to repeat constantly.
然后呢？这个 Vyasadeva Shukadev Goswami 他到了森林里面之后Vyasadeva 他在这个森林里面呢，他就给一些在这个森林里面干活的一些人讲了这个圣典波迦瓦坛，就让他们可以重复。
So while these men were working in the forest, they were repeating these verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and Shukadev Goswami was listening to this, and he became very attractive.
他当时在森林里面干活的这些工人，他们就在重复这个圣典波迦瓦塔。而当这个 Shukadev Goswami 听到了他们所讲的话之后呢，他就被深深的吸引了。
So he came back to his father to hear more, and Srila Vyasadev spoke the entire Srimad Bhagavatam to Shukadev Goswami.
所以呢，这个 Shukadev Goswami 他就回到了他的父亲 Vyasadev 的这个身边。这样子呢，这个 Vyasadev 呢，他就向 Shukadev Goswami 完全的传授了整部圣典波迦瓦塔。
So the sages wanted to know why, if Shukadev Goswami was already self-realized, why did he need to come back and hear the Srimad Bhagavatam?
所以这些圣人们他们就有一个疑问了， Shukadev Goswami 既然已经都获得了自我觉悟了，为什么他还要回到他的父亲身边去聆听整部的圣典波迦瓦塔呢？
So really the question should be, what does that mean to be self-realized?
所以呢，在这里呢，一个真正的问题就是说，自我觉悟究竟意味着什么？
And this is the crunch of the chapter where Sanatan Goswami asked Lord Chaitanya to explain the following verse.
所以呢，这个 Sanatan Goswami 就是在这个关键点上，他向就是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 去提出了问题，让他去解释一下这几个师节到底是什么含义。
What is the meaning of self-realization?
这个问题就是说，这个自我觉悟到底是什么意思？
So, Sutta Goswami will answer the question by Sonaka Rishi.
这个时候呢， Sutta Goswami 就要开始回答 Sonaka Rishi 的提问。
Sutta Uvacha.Atmaramaschamunayo nirgrantha apyurukrame kurvantyayetukim bhaktim itambhuta gunohari. Sutta Goswami said, all different varieties of Atmaramas, those who take pleasure in the Atma or the Spirit Self, especially those established on the path of self-realization,though freed from all kinds of material bondage, desire to render unalloyed devotional service into the personality of Godhead. This means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, including liberated souls.
在这个世界里就是说到呢， Sutta Goswami 说各种各样的 Atma Rams 即那些在 Atma 自我灵魂中得享快乐的人，尤其是那些已经完全坚处于自我觉悟的道路上的人，虽然他们已经摆脱了各种各样的物质束缚，但是依然渴望向至尊人格守神做出毫无污染的灵奉爱服务，这就意味着主的确拥有超然的品格，因此才会吸引每一个人，甚至包括解脱的灵魂。
So this is very interesting because it opens up the discussion about what spirituality is all about.
所以呢，这个是非常有意思的一个开始，就是他讲述了这个灵性到底意味着什么。
And similar to what happened to Srila Vyasadev, who compiled the Vedas but still was not satisfied.
这个和那个 Vyasadev 的这个情形很相似，就是 Vyasadev 他编撰了所有的伟大经典浩如烟海的伟大经典，但是他内心当中他还是有一种失落感，他感到不满足。
The Vedas are compiled of three elements.
这个伟大经典呢，它一共有三个元素。
Karmakanda,
这个三个部分，一个是 Karmakanda, 业报支部，
which deals with all the activities that take place in the material world.
这个业报支部的主题就是有关于这个物质世界的各种各样的活动。
Gyanakanda,
Gyana Kanda,
which is the body of knowledge of the Vedas, how to understand what is matter and what is spirit.
这个就是思辨之部，这个里面呢主要就是讲的这个韦达经的这个知识究竟是什么，怎么样去分辨物与灵。
And Upasana Kanda,
还有一个 Upasana Kanda,
which deals with pure devotion.
Upasana Kanda, 它里面讲的就是纯粹的奉爱服。
And this is the smallest section of the Vedas.
而这个关于这个纯粹奉爱服的这个部分，又是整部的伟大经典里面最少的部分。
Therefore, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna,do not dwell on the study of the Vedas. You should rise above the Vedas because most of the Vedas deal with the modes of material nature.
这就是为什么在《博伽梵歌》之中呢，这个Krishna 他就是告诫 Arjuna， 让他不要沉溺于伟大经典的研习之中，要超越于这个伟大经典。因为为什么呢？因为伟大经典它仍然没有超出这个物质自然形态的这个范畴。
Therefore, Vedic literature can only be understood if it is presented and explained by someone who is a pure devotee of Krishna.
所以说呢，只有是 Krishna 纯粹的奉献者去呈现和解释伟达经典的时候，一个人才能真正的明白伟达经典的要义。
So what we understand from that is that out of the Vedas you will get many, many people who will explore transcendental knowledge to become self-realized.
就是呢，那我们就是知道呢，很多人他们研习了这个伟达经典，他们就是达到了自我觉悟的这个层面，达到了完美。
Which means that their realization is only up to the level of understanding that they are spirit souls and that there is a supreme Brahman, supreme soul.
但是他们的这个自我觉悟的这个境界也无非只是停留在我是个体灵魂，并且他们同时也觉悟到这个至尊梵。
So now, in the purport of this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada presents the story of Lord Chaitanya and Sanatan Goswami.
那就是在对刚才我们所说的这个师节的这个要旨之中，Srila Prabhupada 他就讲述到了 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 和 Sanatan Goswami 的故事，就是他们之间的对话。
How Lord Chaitanya gave the meaning of each word of this verse. There are 11 words in this verse.
就是刚才我们所说的这个世界当中呢，一共有十一个词语。然后 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 在给 Sanatan Goswami 的解释的过程当中，他就把这十一个词语一一的进行了解释。
And each word has different meanings.
那每一个词语呢，都有不同的含义。
So there are many different ways to understand this verse.
所以要去了解这个师节的话，可以以不同的途径、不同的角度。
Now, Lord Chaitanya explained to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya 18 different ways.
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 当时跟那个就是和当时和 Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya 去解释的时候，他用的是十八个不同的途径去解释。
And he is giving Sanatan Goswami 64 different ways.
但是他跟 Sanatan Goswami 呢讲的时候，他用的是64项，就是64个角度。
So do we want to go through 64 different ways? Because that's what this chapter is about. 64 different ways to understand the same verse.
所以说呢，就是它等于相当于是从64个不同的方式去解释同一个师节，我们是否愿意一一的聆听呢？把这64个都一一的听完呢？
So if anybody in China ever contemplate the idea of establishing an institution or an academy where you're going to give courses on the Vedanta Sutra, I would highly recommend that such a person goes and sit in India for 20 years to learn Sanskrit first.
所以如果说在我们中国真的出了一个特别的这个雄心勃勃的雄才大略的人，想要建一个关于 Vedanta Sutra， 就是终极伟达经，研习终极伟达经的那么一个学院的话，我会建议他首先到印度来，要待上20年的时间，好好先把这个梵文给学透了，然后你才能够开始研习终极伟达经。
That's the minimum requirement to understand Sanskrit.
啊，这个就是说，你真的要是对梵文要有理解的话。这样的一个学习的时间20年是起码的。
So to establish a Sanskrit academy in China, sorry, it's a bit of a joke.
啊，所以说就这个前提而言，如果哪个人他说在中国要建一个梵文学院的话，那可以说就是一个玩笑而已。
So maybe by studying this chapter of the meaning of the Atmarama verse in 64 version can give us an idea of the depth and the wealth of Sanskrit language.
那也许我们通过这个只是一个 Atmarama 的这样的一个世界，就可以有64个角度、64个途径去理解。那我们就可以从中略见一斑，就究竟这个梵文有多么的深奥。
So the word Atmaram is very simple. It's made of two words, Atma and Rama.
啊，这个 Atmaram 呢，它是一个非常短小的一个梵文词语，它是由两个部分所组成的，一个叫 Atma， 一个叫 Rama。
Atma is the soul or the self, and Rama is pleasure.
那 Atmaram 呢 ？Atma 就是说是灵魂，个体灵魂。那个 Rama 的意思呢？就是这个喜乐。
So Atmaram is a very famous word in Sanskrit language.
在梵文里面 ，Atmaram 是一个非常著名的词语。
Someone who is Atmarama is someone who takes pleasure to understand that they are eternal.
就是说，你说一个人是 Atmaram 的时候，就是指的是一个人他已经觉悟到了这个我这个个体，是这个灵性永恒的，而因为这样的一种觉知，他在这种巨大的喜乐之中。
That pleasure is the fruit of realizing that we are eternal.
啊，就是当一个人他觉悟到自己是永恒的时候，他自然呢这种喜悦就从心中升起。
And therefore, there is no attachment to the material world.
那因为他内心已经非常喜乐满足了，所以他对于这个物质世界他是没有丝毫的依附的。
Now, these kind of persons are called munis or sages.
那这样的人就被尊称为是 muni 或者说是圣者，圣者。
But again, muni has 10 different translations.
但是光是一个词语 muni， 你就要用可以有10个解释。
So I'm not going to go because this is the entire chapter. I'm not going to go through every word.
那么因为这个是一个整个的一章，我不会说每一个词语都去一一的解释。
But what we have to understand here is that this is the whole key. Why did Shukadeva Goswami need to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam if he was already self-realized?
那在这里的一个关键点，大家要记住，就是 Shukadeva Goswami 他已经获得了自我觉悟了。为什么他还要费那么大的劲儿，用那么长的时间去聆听盛典薄伽瓦坛呢？
Because we have to understand that self-realization does not mean pure devotional service.
我们一定要知道，自我觉悟并不意味着就是纯粹的奉爱服务。
And Shukadeva Goswami had not reached that level.
那 Shukadeva Goswami 虽然已经自我觉悟了，但是他依然没有达到纯粹奉爱服务的境界。
He himself will say that to Maharaj Parikshit.
这一点呢，他是亲口向Parish Maharaj 坦言了。
He said, "Up until now, I was just attracted to the impersonal aspect of the absolute truth."
他说呢，到目前为止，我仅仅是被绝对真理非人格的一面所吸引。
And it's only when he heard the Srimad Bhagavatam that he reached the highest level of understanding.
直到他聆听了圣典薄伽瓦坛，他才达到了觉悟的顶峰。
Now, in the first beginning chapters of the Nectar of Devotion.
就是在奉爱的甘露的最前面的几章里。
Rupa Goswami explained that there are different types of liberation.
Rupa Goswami 呢，他就解释到了各种各样的解脱。
And one of them, which is known as Sayujya Mukti, is to merge within the absolute effulgence of the Supreme Lord.
那有一种解脱叫 Sayujya Mukti， 意思就是说融入至尊主的光。泛光之中，他的这个身上所散发出的光芒之中。
And he gives two examples.
那他就举了两个例子。
One is the four Kumaras.
他第一个例子就是四库马尔，库马尔四兄弟。
And the other is Shukadev Goswami.
然后第二个就是 Shukadev Goswami.
And he explains how they had impersonal concept of the absolute truth.And how they became devotees.
他以他们两个故事来做这个说明，就是原本他们都是有这个至尊主的非人格的这个概念的，但是他们又是怎么转变成了奉献者的
？So the four Kumaras became devotees when they smell the fragrance of tulsi leaves offered to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna.
Krishna 啊，就是库玛尔斯兄弟呢，他们是闻了供奉给 Krishna Vishnu 的莲花族的 Tulsi 叶散发出的芬芳。
Yes. And the other is Shukadev Goswami when he heard the Srimad Bhagavatam.
然后第二个例子就是 Shukadev Goswami 聆听了圣典波伽瓦坦，他就获得了奉爱夫的纯粹的觉悟。
So we're gonna stop here. And then next time we will go through summarizing Lord Chaitanya's presentation of this Atmarama verse.
那我们今天呢就先讲到这里。下一周，我们的新课上面呢，我们就要讲一下 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 关于这个 Atmarama 的这个诗节的一个解释，但是我们是以一种概述的方式来呈现。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.好，我们现在看一下大家奉献者们已经有问题发上来了。My question is first, Saraswati, what does that mean, Saraswati? The second one is, what's the meaning of Siddhanta?
That's it?
This is the first question.
What's this?
What? Yeah, that's what my explanation. Mm-hmm. This is another question.
Oh, that's another question. Okay. So Saraswati, there are three rivers that flow from the Himalayas onto the plains of Bharat Varsha.
那么从喜马拉雅山发源，一共有三条河，流经了这个 Bharat Varsha 之地。
One is the river Saraswati.
第一条河呢叫做 Saraswati.
One is the river Jamuna.
第二条河是 Yamuna,
and one is the river Ganges.
第三条河就是恒河。我们刚才说就是流经印度 ，Bharat Varsha 就是印度。
The river Saraswati is given that name because the sages study, meditate, and serve on the bank of that river, and therefore, because the goddess of knowledge is Saraswati, they call that river.Saraswati.
这个 Saraswati 呢，她是学问女神或者叫知识女神。那么之所以称这个发源于喜马拉雅山的这条河为 Saraswati 河，是因为呢那些圣人们他们就在这条河边他们去研习这个知识，研习经典，然后呢去冥想，同时呢去。服务Saraswati 学问女神，所以这条河也被冠以 Saraswati 的名称。
So that's the meaning of the river.
那么这个就是这条河的意思。
Now Siddhanta comes from the word is made of two words. One is Siddha, perfection. Anta, conclusion.
Siddhanta 是由两个字所组成的，一个是 Siddha， 还有是 Anta。有噪音是怎么回事？Siddha 就是这是有两个字意思哈，一个 Siddha 的意思就是完美， Anta 的意思呢就是结论。
So Siddha Anta.
所以说是 Siddha Anta.
Which means the perfect conclusion.
啊，那意思就是说是完美的结论。
And there are not different types of perfect conclusion. There's only one.
没有说这个完美的结论还有各种各样的，这个完美的结论就只有一个。
So, like there is Vedanta.
就比如说 Vedanta.
The conclusion of the Vedas.
Vedanta 的意思呢？就是说伟达的完美结论，那就是我们说的终极伟达经。
And then within Vedanta there is the Siddhanta, the perfect conclusion.
在 Vedanta 当中呢，又有 Siddhanta， Siddhanta 是基于这个 Vedanta 这个结论而言的，指的是完美的结论。Vedanta 只是结论的意思。然后 Siddhanta 是 Siddhanta 就是说是所有的这些结论中的最完美的结论啊。
Krishna Premier likes Sanskrit.
Please.
So it means that even from the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a conclusion.
所以换句话说就是说呢，就是即便是圣典婆伽瓦坛，它也有一个结论啊。
This conclusion is often known as what is in Sanskrit language, and I'm not a scholar. It's called a Paribhasha Sutra.
Paribhasha Sutra， 这个就是圣典婆伽瓦坛的这个结论。
And I have not opened a Sanskrit academy, believe me.
我不是梵文学者，我也没打算要建一个这个梵文学院。
I just try to be very attentive to Prabhupada's teachings.
我只是非常专注于这个Srila Prabhupada的教导。
So in every body of scripture, there is one particular verse, like a seed verse.
所以说呢，在这个知识就是很多诗节当中，你会找到一个相当于算是核心诗节，它像是一个种子一样的。
Okay, for example, Srimad Bhagavatam has 18,000 verses.
所以我们比如来说，圣典婆伽瓦坛一共有18,000。
But originally, the Srimad Bhagavatam only had 4 verses.
但是呢，你如果说到底的话，说到这个根处的话，圣典婆伽瓦坛其实它只有四个核心诗节，它四个核心诗节已经讲述了所有的核心了。
Really enjoying yourself here. So these 4 verses are found in the second canto, and they are known as the Chatur Shloki. 4 verses.
这个是在圣典婆伽瓦坛的第二篇里面呢，这个也把它称为四个核心诗节，叫做 Chatur Shloki.
Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, there is also a Chatur Shloki, which is found in the 10th chapter.
就好像《婆伽梵歌》里面的这个第十章里面也有四个核心诗节啊 ，Chatur Shloki.
But apart from that, there is one verse which is called the Paribhasha.Sutra.
Paribhasha Sutra 就是除了这些核心诗节之外呢，还说到这个核心。
So this Paribhasha Sutra is one verse which is found in the third chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam.
这个是在圣典婆伽瓦坛的第三篇第三章当中可以看到这个 Paribhasha Sutra.
Yes. So in the third chapter of the first canto.
First chapter of the first canto.
Yes, it's all the incarnations of Krishna.
在这个第一篇的第三章当中呢，讲到的都是 Krishna 的化身。
So there is a list of many incarnations.
在这里就是讲到了很多很多的化身。
But then Shukadeva Goswami says, Krishna comes in different forms at different times, but Krishna's too Bhagavan Swayam, Krishna.Is the source of all incarnations.
So this is actually Canto 1, Chapter 3, right?
Yes.
我刚才可能有个地方我说错了，我记得就是这个实际上应该是在第一篇的第三章里面，因为讲述了所有的这些化身，这些化身呢，就是 Krishna 的化身，都是在不同的年代以不同的形象。出现的，在解释了所有的化身之后呢 ，Sukadev Goswami 呢，他就说到了，Krishna still Bhagavan
Swayam.
Swayam.
Yes. So this is not Krishna Vaikuntha, Krishna Vishnu. No, this is Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead in Goloka Vrindavan in his Vrindavan pastimes.
所以他说呢，这个至尊人格守神，他指的就是说在Goloka Vrindavan， 就是在这个 Goloka Vrindavan 的，在 Vrindavan 上演逍遥时光的这个至尊人格守神，他就是 Krishna， 他是至尊人格守神，他是最原始的。
The original form of Krishna is not Vaikuntha, is not Dwarka, is not the creation, is Krishna in Vrindavan. This is Krishna Stu, Bhagavan Swayam.
Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam， 这个就是说的最原始的至尊人格守神，是指的是在 Goloka Vrindavan 的 Krishna， 而不是在 Vaikuntha 无忧心秀的 Vrindavan， 也不是在 Dwarka 的这 Krishna， 也不是在这个宇宙这个创造的这些化身，这些都不是最原始的至尊人格守神是 Goloka Vrindavan 的 Krishna。
I was actually going to speak about this next week, but anyway, so thisstatement of Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam, this is the Siddhanta.
所以说呢，就是这句话，就是 Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam， 就是指的，就是核心的这个实结，就是你这里说的 Siddhanta 完美的结论。就讲了这么多之后的，又是一个最浓缩的一个结论，完美的这个结论就是 Siddhanta。
I'm not going to speak more about this. We'll speak more next week.
这些内容本来我是要在下一周来讲的，那我们今天就先点到为止，下一周我们再详细的来讲。
Just register for the Sanskrit Academy.
那你就报名参加这个梵文学院，你可能就能够更好的理解了。
OK.
Panchatattva
Jaya。
Hare Krishna, 顶拜 Prabhu Mataji 和所有的奉献者，祝 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 对 Sanatana 的教导，对在现代传播 Krishna 知觉有什么启示。Hare Krishna, please accept my humble obeisances to Prabhu Mataji and all the devotees. And what is the enlightenment in regards to Lord Chaitanya's?Teachings to Sanatana Goswami to the spreading of Krishna consciousness today.
Enlightenment?
Meaning that teachings or some lessons that this teaching can give us when we spread Krishna consciousness movement.
Panchatattva Prabhu asked a very similar question last time.
上一周的时候，我记得 Panchatattva Prabhu 也问了一个与此非常类似的一个问题。
And I replied that the teachings of Lord Chaitanya are given in three aspects.
我上一次呢，就是给解释说，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的这个教导，其实它主要是从三个角度的。
One is to make people chant the holy name of Krishna.
第一个就是让人们去唱诵主 Krishna 的圣名。
Two is to let them hear about Krishna.
第二个就是让他们去聆听有关 Krishna 的知识。
And three is to make sure they eat Krishna prasada.
第三个就是说要确保他们能够去荣耀 Krishna prasada.
Now, out of these three,there are unlimited different byproducts.
那么在这个三个方面之外延伸下去的又有无穷无尽的所谓副产品。
There are many ways to present it. There are many ways to perform it.
所以说呢，当你去呈现这三个方面，然后去践行这三个方面，那你就可以千变万化，有各种各样的方法的。
It's not a system from India.
这个不是说是来自于印度的某一个体系。
To chant Hare Krishna is not Indian.
去唱诵 Hare Krishna 不是什么印度的东西。
To hear about Krishna is not Indian.
聆听 Krishna 也不是印度的。
So this is where we have to introduce Krishna consciousness with Chinese characteristics.
所以说呢，当我们去介绍这个 Krishna 知觉的时候，就会带有就是中国的特色。
Through education,
通过这个
through culture,
要通过教育啊、文化呀、这些角度。
Through local traditions,
那 和这个当地的这个传统的结合。
And we have to become expert to understand that the mercy of Lord Chaitanya is flowing through the three activities.
我们一定要知道 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的教导其实是通过这样的三个渠道，就我们刚才说的圣名，然后这个哲学知识，还有这个 prasada， 这样流淌下来的。
Like for example, now in Western countries, when the devotees distribute books on the street, they hand out to the public, even if they don't buy a book, they hand out to the public a mantra card with a maha mantra, and then they ask them to recite the maha mantra. It's very amazing to watch these videos.
When they do Harinam.
No, not when they do Harinam. Just on the street like this.
Oh,
they walk up
like
to someone and say, can you
read
this?
People will be intimidated.
People love it. People are so excited.
I doubt it. China, Chinese will do. 那现在在西方奉献者做的是什么？他们在这个一个小卡片上面印上这个曼陀罗，然后在街上走着走着就遇上一个人，就把这个卡片递给他说，你能不能念一念？然后他们就会念这个Hare Krishna. 我说在中国恐怕是难以实践的。
They give the mantra card and say, excuse me, sir, can you please repeat what's written on this card?
那你比如说你走在这个街上，遇到迎面走来一个人，你就把卡片递到他的眼前，说，这个打扰，先生，冒昧打扰，您能不能念一下这个卡片上的话，他卡片上的这个字。
And they film them. It's amazing to see the reaction.
然后他们就用这个视频用这个摄像机把它给拍下来，所以看到这些视频的时候感到非常的震惊。
This is the essence of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya.
所以呢，这个就是Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 教导的精髓所在。
To make people chant, to make people hear, and to make people taste Krishna prasad.
让人们去唱诵，去聆听有关 Krishna 的一切，然后呢，去这个。品味就是菩萨的。
This was Prabhupada's program.
这个就是 Prabhupada 的一个活动。
And we should not think that there is something else.
我们千万不要以为除此之外还有别的什么。
This is the perfection of spiritual life.
这个就是说灵性生命的完美境界。
Next.
下一个问题来自于淡然一笑。昨天听了一堂课，主题是具有中国特色的 Krishna 知觉的居士生活，不懂具有中国特色 Krishna 知觉什么意思，也有具有印度特色的 Krishna 知觉，还有美国特色的 Krishna 知觉。 You see, there's some doubt about the Chinese characteristic. Yesterday I had a class. The theme is that the Grihastha life in Krishna consciousness with Chinese characteristicI really don't understand what it means by Krishna consciousness with Chinese characteristic. Does that mean there's Krishna consciousness with Indian characteristic or with American characteristic?
Mm. Okay.
You know, a lot of devotees will be have that.
Yeah, it's a good question.
This question 问得非常好。
Okay, I'll give you some examples.
我给你举个例子。
There is something very mystical that Prabhupada did.
Srila Prabhupada 做了一些非常神奇的事情。
Especially with deities.
特别是关于这个神像。
It's actually amazing to see.
实际上当你看到 Srila Prabhupada 关于神像崇拜所做的这一切的时候，你会感到非常的惊讶。
Wherever Prabhupada went, he arrangedfor deities of Radha and Krishna to be installed in a specific country.
每次呢，去了帕帕，他到了某一个地方，到了一个国家的时候，他一定会设立这个 Radha Krishna 的神像，让奉献者们去崇拜。
Prabhupada, you know, these were the early days. Prabhupada just ordered from the deity makers in India, he ordered a set of Radha Krishna, got it shipped to a country and installed.
那当时在 Krishna 知觉的这个早期， Srila Prabhupada 他就会在印度找人去这个雕了这个 Radha Krishna 的神像，然后呢给运到某一个国家，然后他就到那个国家去正式的去设立这个神像。
Now, not in every case, but in many situations, believe it or not, the deities looked like the local people.
这个很神奇，非常的神奇。你如果亲眼所见的话，也会感到非常的吃惊。因为信不信由你，就是 在那个当地所设立的这个神像，他们的样子长得就特别的像当地人。
Like the deities in London, I mean, they look like British lords.
伦敦的这个神像就好像是英国的爵士一样。
And yesterday I was looking at the picture of Radharani in Paris. She looks so much like a French lady.
那昨天我又仔细的看了这个巴黎的 Radharani 的这个神像，这个 Radharani 看起来真的是非常的像一个法国女郎。
And the same with the deities in Mexico. They look so Spanish.
然后呢？那个that's very very amazing.
Yeah.
墨西哥的神像也是这样的，看起来就是一个西班牙人的样子。
So.
The same with China.
So, like for example, I know when I went to Jaipur to order the deities for Beijing, you know, we just asked the guy to carve some deities of Gonitai. If you look at the deities today, they're not installed, but they look Chinese. And he didn't know it was for China.
Oh yes. 当时呢，我是帮着到这个斋铺的那个雕神像的那个地方，跟他们接洽这个北京的这对神像的事情。那当时我们只是告诉他们说，你们要雕这个神像啊 ，Goranitai， 我们是要运到中国去。他们还不知道是运到中国去。但是呢，最后这个神像完成之后，看起来就是一个中国人的样子。
So maybe one day we'll have Radha Krishna deities installed in China that will look completely Chinese.
那是 Goranitai 看起来像中国人。那也许有一天我们也会设立中国的 Radha Krishna 神像。那这个 Radha Krishna 可能看起来就是完全的中国人的样子。
Who can be dressed in beautiful Chinese dress?
他们可以用中国的穿上中国式的这个服装。
Who can eat?Beautifully cooked Chinese prasad.
他们也可以吃非常美味可口赏心悦目的中国式的 prasad.
Where the kirtans will be performed with Chinese instruments.
Kirtan 可能也可以用中国的这个乐器来演奏。
And the dancing will be very much like Chinese dancing.
这个舞蹈也特别的有中国特色。
And the devotees will be dressed with Chinese traditional clothes.
可能就我们的中国的奉献者也可以穿上这个中国的传统服饰。
And the shastra will be read in Chinese language.
这个经典呢又是用中文来朗读的。
So these are Chinese characteristics.
所以这个就是属于有中国特色。
Now,
so but the principle is not touched.
So now we have to understand the principle, which is a spiritual principle, not a material principle.
那我们现在要讲一下这个原则。我们说的是灵性的原则，而不是世俗物质的原则。
And that principle is not an Indian principle; it's a Vedic principle.
这个
Veda is universal.
而这个原则呢，并不是印度的这个原则，而是伟达的原则，而伟达。原则这个伟达它是一个放之四海而皆准的一个宇宙性的一个原则。
So if you were to look at, for example, marriage in Krishna consciousness with Chinese characteristic, what would you look at?
那我们就说一下它这个提法，具有中国特色的 Krishna 知觉的居士生活，那我们怎么来看待它呢？
It's a little bit confusing.
乍一听上去觉得有一点让人糊涂。
Because most Chinese, that bird is crazy. Because most Chinese don't really follow traditional ways anymore.
因为大多数的这个中国人，他们现在已经不是按照中国的传统方式在生活了。
They adapt certain principles from before, but it's all mixed with.The day-to-day life.
他们呢，就是可能采用了之前我们中国传统的一些原则，但是他们也进行了调试，以适应于现代人的生活。
I mean, people live in apartments. They have cars. They have money in the bank. They have pressure from the family. This has nothing to do with Chinese culture.
那我们现在的中国人，现代人的生活是什么？他们住在这个高楼大厦里面，公寓楼里面，他们有车。有房，他们还有面临来自于这个家庭的各种各样的压力，这个 体现不出中国的这种特别传统的一种生活方式，但是这就是现在人的状态。
But we have to understand that, you know, people are positive about the revival of Chinese culture.
但是我们也知道，关于这个中国传统文化的复兴，很多人是充满着信心的。
If anything is going to save the future of China, is not to imitate the West, but to actually go back to their own culture.And it's the same with India.
那么，如果说有什么能够去拯救中国的未来的话，那一定不是去盲目的去模仿西方人的生活，一定是回归我们中国的传统文化的本源。那么同样，印度也面临着这样的一个问题，就是传统和现代的这个冲突。
So I would say that we have to look at, for example, the core principle of Chinese culture.The core principle of Vedic culture, and see what they have in common.
所以我想，如果是我的话，我会怎么看？就是我们先看一下中国的传统文化的核心所在是什么，然后我们再看一下这个伟达的这个文化的核心所在是什么，然后我们看看他们之间的那种相通之处，看怎么样能够汇通起来。
Because the same problem arises.Outside of China, where people, devotees, are confused about adapting Vedic culture into the modern world.
Sorry, I was distracted.
It's the same outside China, devotees are confused with Vedic culture and modern culture.
同样的，这个同样的道理也适用于中国之外的那些国家。那在这个中国之外的其他的这些文化当中，他们也面临着同样的一个挑战，就是怎么样能够把这么传统的伟达的这个文化去这个运用到他们当地的现代的这种文化生活当中呢？怎么样去适应呢？也就是说本土化呢
The position of woman, the education of children
包括对孩子的这个教育还有这个女性的这个意识教育等等
So it is quite confusing
所以呢对很多人来说也是充满着困惑的
But it doesn't matter what adjustments you make as long as you don't deviate from the core principle of Krishna consciousness
但是不管你怎么样做这个调试做一些微小的这种就是调整最重要的就是说你不偏移 Krishna 偏离 Krishna 知觉的核心价值核心原则
Now what are those principles?
那么这些原则是什么呢
First of all to live a life in goodness
首先就是说过一种善良形态的生活
This is very clearly explained by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita
这个是在《薄伽梵歌》里面 Krishna 他是非常明确的指示的
He gives many many information about someone who lives in goodness
那关于一个在善良形态当中生活的这个人的这个特点 Krishna 是用了很多的篇幅来讲述的
So to be established on the platform of goodness gives you access to knowledge.
所以当一个人他稳处于这个善良心态的层面上的话，他就可以更接近于这个知识。
To proper behavior, proper action.
然后他的这种行为举止活动那就是更加的妥当。
And gives you a springboard.To go into pure goodness.
那有这些正确的行为规范之后呢，它就像是一个跳板一样的，可以让你跳到这个超然的灵性的活动中。
Pure goodness means that everything you do is centered on Krishna and offered to Krishna.
这个就是纯粹的善良形态。从善良形态跳到纯粹的善良形态，就意味着一切。都是围绕着 Krishna Krishna 是一切的核心一切都供奉给 Krishna
So these are fundamental principles
所以呢这个呢就是最基本的这个原则最重要的原则
And then you have the fundamental spiritual principles
还有这个灵性原则当中的要素
Which are given by Srila Prabhupada
这个是 Srila Prabhupada 他提出的
Four regulative principles 16 rounds
这个四个规范原则还有十六圈
So very simple Goodness Four principles 16 rounds That can be applied to Chinese culture Vedic culture, any culture.
所以你可以看到了，这个不管是中国的文化、维达文化，还是世界上任何的一个文化，假如你遵循这三者的话，一个就是善良形态的生活，十六圈四个规范原则，那在任何一个文化中的语境下面，它都是适用的，这不违背任何国家的原则，这个文化。
This is an ongoing discussion that we need to have. It's very, very important to have it.
其实关于这个。中国特色啊，这个文化特色的这个主题，其实可以一直的讨论下去，一直延续下去，因为这个话题实在是太重要了。下一个问题 ，Sumukhi Radha Mataji， 感恩帕布和 Mataji 清晨来自圣地的甘露，请问如果我们要在小组内学习圣典博迦瓦坦，哪一种方式更好呢？如果大家还没有把博迦梵歌学得很扎实的情况下。我们是否有资格去讨论和讲述圣典博迦瓦坦？担心这样的学习很容易陷入思辨和跑偏。We would like to seek some advice about the study of Srimad Bhagavatam. First of all, thank you for the nectar from the holy dam. So now we are about to begin studying Srimad Bhagavatam in our small group. I would like to ask what's the best way to do it. If we haven't really strongly established in the understanding of Bhagavad Gita, do we have the qualification to discuss and narrate talked about Srimad Bhagavatam? I'm very concerned that this kind of study will bring us into deviation or argumentative or speculative understanding and in deviation.
Prabhupada never stopped devotees from reading Srimad Bhagavatam.
那释迦牟尼佛他从来都没有阻止奉献者去研习圣典博迦瓦坛。
He encouraged devotees to read the Srimad Bhagavatam.
他鼓励奉献者们去读圣典博迦瓦坛。
Now there is a difference between reading and studying.
这个朗读或者诵读和研习它是不一样的。
And discussing,
还有讨论，这都不一样。
So if you just read, it's very purifying.
如果你只是去读啊，一字一句的去读的话，那是非常具有净化力的。
If you want to study, there is a system. It's called Bhakti Vaibhav.
那如果说你真的要去研习、去学习的话，那它是有一个体系，那个体系叫做 Bhakti Vaibhav。
Which is a systematic study of the first six cantos.
这个是对圣典博迦瓦坛前面六篇的一个系统化的学习。换句话说，就是有一个系统的学习课程。
And if you don't have that background of education, yes, you could run into some unnecessary discussion and arguments.
那所以说呢，如果说你没有这样的一个体系背景下的这样的一个学习经历的话，那是非常有可能就会走偏，然后陷入到这种毫无意义的论辩啊，还有思辨里面的。
Which could end up into an endless series of questions during the class of Chaitanya Charitamrita.
这有可能就会导致在 Chaitanya Charitamrita 的课当中无穷无尽的问题。
So, I would say reading is fine.
我觉得如果是读一读去阅读或者是朗读博迦瓦坛是可以的。
For example, what you can do is just take turn in reading the verses.
就比如说呢，大家可以轮流的去一个一个世界的去读。
And you could cover the whole Bhagavatam fairly quickly like that.
而且这样的话，你很快就可以把这个博迦瓦坛可以过一遍。
Because it gives you an overview of the conversation between Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit.
因为这样子呢，它可以就是覆盖到 Sukadeva Goswami 和 Parikshit Maharaj 之间的对话。You mean only verses first to get an idea? 就是比如说，你可以先把这个师姐大家过一遍，对于整个的这个博迦瓦坛有一个总的一个了解。
Then you can go back and go through the purports.
然后呢，你再回过去，从这个师姐要旨、师姐要旨这样子非常深入的去朗读。OK， 我补充想问一个问题。So, but there's actually a lot of Bhagavad Gita verses in the purport, to Srimad Bhagavatam verses in Srila Prabhupada's purports. So can we discuss about it based on those Bhagavad Gita verses?
You can't have a discussion if you're not knowledgeable.
我刚才问了一个问题，就是说在圣典博迦瓦塔的很多很多的要旨当中，是了 Prabhupada 他都是经常的去引用博迦梵歌里面的这个诗节的，那我们可不可以就要旨当中的博迦梵歌的诗节进一步去讨论？那 Brother Chan Prabhu 的回答就是说，如果是我们没有这个比较坚实的这个知识和教育的灵性知识教育的这个背景的话，有的时候这个讨论反而容易起这个反作用。
Srimad Bhagavatam is about the beautiful story of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His pure devotees.
那圣典博迦瓦坛呢，围绕的是至尊人格守神和他的纯粹奉献者的啊，这个逍遥时光。
So it's always nice to hear those stories.
所以去聆听这些故事呢，总是非常好的。
We are studying, we are speaking on Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is very, very, very deep subject matter.
我们现在在讲的这个 Chaitanya Charitamrita 永恒的 Chaitanya 经，其实是非常深奥的一些话题的。
But there are sections that I don't cover because it's way beyond our heads.
那 Chaitanya Charitamrita 当中呢，有一些章节部分。其实我是跳过了的，因为这个完全超过了我们现在的理解的这个范围。
Here in Mayapur, I go 3 times a week to hear the systematic study of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, so I can understand deeper meanings.
那我现在是在 Mayapur, 我每周有3次，我会去聆听有关于 Chaitanya Charitamrita 的一个系统化的深度的一个讲课。那这样子呢，我才能够去明白这个 Chaitanya Charitamrita 的这个深意啊，这个要义。
So proceed cautiously.
所以呢，当你往前走的时候呢，一定要小心谨慎。OK， 刚才主持人 YY 掉线重新听，我没听到 Saraswati 是什么意思，故事可以再讲一下吗？出于时间的关系，这个我就先不重复了，我到时候会有录音，我们可以把那个部分截取出来单独发给你，因为现在已经有些晚了。 Sumukhi Radha Mataji， 您讲到 Vyasadeva 就是主本人的文学化身，那么据说现在 Vyasadeva 还隐居在喜马拉雅山深处，这是真的吗？ You mentioned that the Vyasadeva is the literature incarnation of Lord Krishna himself, and we've heard that Vyasadeva even today is staying in the Himalaya in the deep mountains. Is it true or not?
Yes, you want to go and see him?
是的， Vyasadeva 现在还在喜马拉雅山，你想去见见他吗？
Madhvacharya met Srila Vyasadeva.
Madhvacharya 他是亲眼见到了，遇到了。
That's
Vyasadeva.
800 years ago.
这个是在800年前。
He went up to the Himalayas, and he went to see Srila Vyasadeva. He presented his knowledge to him, and Srila Vyasadeva blessed him to continue preaching.
这是 Madhvacharya 呢，他当时爬到了喜马拉雅山上，在上面见到了 Vyasadeva， 他就把他的这个知识哲学体系给这个 Vyasadeva 给呈现了一下， Vyasadeva 呢就祝福了他，让他继续啊。
So the point is, it's quite high up in the Himalayas.
这个 Vyasadeva 他居住在喜马拉雅山上非常高的地方。
You can go up to a place called Badari Ashram.
你可以到 Badari Ashram 这个地方，就爬到那个山上面，有这么一个地方。
At your own risk.
当然了，你得自己去冒险了。
There are no roads, no path, nothing.
没有路，没有路可以上 ，no vehicle， 没有交通工具。
No, there are no path to walk on.
根本连走路的路都没有，就是你得自己往上爬，自己找路往上爬。
So.Nobody has tried.
所以到目前为止还没有人做过这样的尝试。
Yes.
Okay, Ferry, 挺拜咕噜，如何获得力量可以完成咕噜的训示呢？需要做很多苦行吗？有些训示可能一生努力都很难做到，该保持怎么样的心态呢？How can we gain the strength to fulfill the instructions from the guru? Do we have to do a lot of austerities? Some of the instructions, I feel that even with the whole lifetime, it's difficult to attain, even with the lifetimes of effort. So what kind of mood and attitude should we keep in following the instructions of the Guru?
Following the instructions of Guru
to fulfill,
chant Hare Krishna.
你怎么样去遵循你的灵性导师的训示呢？其中包括是念诵 Hare Krishna.
How difficult is that?
这有多难呢？ Some specific, for example, some instructions. 我补充说，那要是有一些特别的，guru 的这个训示呢？
The guru wants the disciples to chant Hare Krishna.
Guru 他的心愿就是让他的门徒一直的去念诵和唱诵 Hare Krishna.
To read Prabhupada's books.
还有去阅读Srila Prabhupada的书。
How difficult is that?
那这有多难呢？
And to do this in a good consciousness.
而且是要以一个非常好的这个知觉去做。
Which means by following principles which keeps us in a mode of goodness.
也就是说你要去遵循的那些原则能够保证让你维持在这个善良形态之中。
No meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex.
比如说四个规范原则：不吃鱼肉蛋，不服用麻醉品，不赌博，不赌博，不非法性行为。
Prabhupada said to the devotees, "This is enough austerities."
那释迦牟尼佛对他的门徒说呢？这些就刚才说的这些已经是足够的苦行了。
We are not going to impress the guru if we follow Pandava Nirjal, Purushottamas, Pancha, Bhishma Panchaka, etc., etc. This does not impress the guru.
如果说你一味的去做那些，比如说 Bhishma 的这个大爱卡达西的这种戒食呀 ，Purushottama 的这种严格的戒食啊，还有 Bhishma 的那个五日戒食，卡提卡月的最后的五天呀，就这种程度的这种苦行，未见得你就真的能够让你的这个能打动你的灵性导师，给他留下深刻的印象。
If once a devotee asked Prabhupada, what will please you the most out of all the instructions that you have given.
有一次呢，有一位奉献者就询问释迦帕帕说，你给了我们这么多的训示，在所有的这些训示当中，哪一条如果我们完成的话，就会最大程度的取悦你。
And Prabhupada replied, chant Hare Krishna.
帕帕他的回答很简单，说唱诵 Hare Krishna.
Because if you chant Hare Krishna purely, you will get perfection.
因为当你念诵唱诵 Hare Krishna 非常纯粹的时候，你就达到了完美境界了。
So there's really no difficulty.
实际上，所以说这里没有什么多大的难度。并不是很难的。
I'm just reading here.Something interesting.
我现在读到了有一段话，非常的有意思。
Srila Prabhupada, it's very difficult to control my mind when I chant. Prabhupada replied, so, what is controlling the mind? You have to chant and hear, that's all. You have to chant with your tongue and the sound with your ear, that's all. What is the question of the mind?
Srila Prabhupada, 有人问了， Srila Prabhupada, 在我在念诵的时候要控制我的心意实在是非常的难。那Srila Prabhupada就说，哦，控制心意吗？你只要去念诵去聆听就可以了，就这么简单。你要用你的舌头去念诵，然后去聆听你所发出的声音，就这样，就这么简单。跟心意有什么关系？ What is the question of mind?Oh, that means that the,
Why are you talking about the mind?
就是对跟心意有什么关系？你干嘛要提到心意呢？就是说你的念诵就这么简单，舌头念，耳朵听，就这么简单。心意在这儿干什么？你不用去踩它。
When you chant, it's only the tongue and the ears.
如果你去念诵，只有你的舌头和耳朵参与。
So really, the only austerity that we have to perform is to pay attentive when we chant the holy name. This.Pleases the spiritual master.
就是其实我们真的要做的苦行，就是说你去念诵，然后你要全神贯注的去聆听。这个对很多人来说，这是 最难做到的，也就是说这个苦行。而当你去这么做的时候，你就可以最大程度的取悦你的灵性导师。OK, present, 请问帕布，有年长奉献者骂我是什么德性？我可以把他删除吗？算是冒犯吗？因为他是先冒犯的我。My question is, some senior devotees criticize me actually with dirty words like what kind, in Chinese it sounds very bad, but I don't know what's the best way to translate into English, it means what kind of qualification, what kind of qualities do you have?Meaning that you are such a low-class person. Can I delete him from my WeChat friend list? Is it offense if I delete him? Because he offended me first.
First of all, you have to qualify the meaning of senior.
首先呢，就是你说了年长奉献者，那你现在要看看什么样的人是名副其实年长奉献者，什么资格才能成为年长奉献者
？Senior means mature。
我们说的这个年长其实是资深的意思，就是说，是一个非常成熟的奉献者。
Senior means shelter。
成熟奉献者意味着他可以给别的奉献者庇护的人。
And senior means educating.
还有这个资深年长意味着是他已经他可以去教导别人 educating or being educated.
I said.
Educating.
Yes.
就是可以给别人以教导的人。
So if these three things are there, you can say this person is senior.
如果这三面都具备，三方面具备的话，你可以称他为年长的奉献者，也就是说资深奉献者。
Senior is not someone who's been a devotee longer than you. That's not senior.
我们说的年长奉献者不是那个含义，不是按年头算的。哦，他比你，这个灵修的时间长，就是年长了。
So if this person is abusive,Then you can ignore that person.
如果这个人他跟你说了这样子的难听的话的话，你可以忽略不计，你不可以不要管他，不要理会他。
If that person continues to be abusive, then click on delete.
如果这个人他继续这么做下去的话，不改的话，那么你就可以把他删除掉。Sujata Sangadasi, Vyasadev 拥有灵性躯体吗 ？Does Vyasadev have spiritual body?
Srila Vyasadev, of course he has a spiritual body.
当然他有一个灵性的躯体了。
His body looks like Krishna's body.
他的身体看上去就像 Krishna 的身体一样。
But Vyasadev is not physically as beautiful as Krishna.
当然 Vyasadev 他没有 Krishna 这么美，看上去没有那么美。
He gave birth to three children, and their wives were not that impressed in terms of the physical attraction.
You mean the three sons are not that beautiful?
No.
I know that the story. Okay, what? 就是 Vyasadeva 他生了三个孩子嘛，就我们知道的嘛，《Mahabharata》里面说的，就是三个不同的。跟三个不同的妻子生了孩子的，那他们的这个妻子并没有被 Vyasadeva 的美丽所打动，因为 Vyasadeva 他看上去就是那样那个样子，邋里邋遢的有点。
OK。
Done。OK， 好，就这样。那我们今天的课就讲到这里。OK， 没有其他的问题了吧 ？Sumukhi Radha Mataji。
Sumukhi Radha Mataji。
OK。
Thank you very much.
非常感谢。
Thank you to all the devotees for your very nice questions today.
非常的感谢这个奉献者们的提出的好问题。
Krishna Premi, thank you for your Sanskrit translation.
感谢 Krishna Premi 的对梵文的翻译，他在开玩笑。
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Kashadesh Yatra ki jai.Gaur Premanande Hari
Hari 白坤的精英服务员一聆听下的奉献者们今天的永恒的《Chaitanya经》就讲到这里我们现在讲到的是中篇逍遥 Madhya Lila 的第24章的开始部分这一章的主题就是对 Atma Ram 失节的61项解释 好，我们今天的课就讲到这里，下周同一时间，周三早上7点再见。Hare Krishna.